DKK.
Yo, that Rondo thing is nuts. Like, have you actually read the Instagram post?
I read the whole thing. He's actually a baby.
He's gonna have, like, there's gonna be some issues, man. There's gonna be, you know, those meetings that they have? Those, the team meetings and the all-player meetings?
Yeah.
There's gonna be a lot of those.
I would actually just suspend him without pay.
Wow. Are we happy he's not on the Raptors? Remember the days when, like, we had players like that on the Raptors where it was just, like, the name recognition was the thing that they went after?
Thank God that's done.
I know, now we have Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, man. Our all-star starters. Welcome to the Tip of the Tower podcast, where we love DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. So happy that we don't have Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, I'm thrilled we don't have Rondo because he's actually a walking basketball cancer. And everywhere he goes, he destroys. So I'm quite happy he's not here, to put it bluntly.
he's damned that Chicago team because he at least has another year on his contract. And it's like $14 million, so he's not getting stretched.
Dude, where to start with him, though? I mean, you go back to his time at Kentucky. He didn't get along with any of his teammates. And teammates even said he was hitting on, you know, their girlfriends. Like, just ridiculous stuff like that where you're like, okay, whatever, he's a kid. Then you go to Boston, and him and Ray Allen did not get along. Just didn't get along. Like, that was well documented. And, I mean, we saw what happened there. And Sacramento, whatever, he made it work with, what, the Misfit Toys and DeMarcus Cousins? Like, cool. He made it work for a season with absolutely nothing. Great. Chicago, same thing. Like, this guy, everywhere he goes, it's the same stuff. Nobody's going to want him now.
Oh, you forgot the famed Mavericks run, man.
Yeah, him and Carlisle. I completely forgot about that. You're right. Him and Carlisle, was that was comical.
When the playoffs started, they literally just told him, like, yo, you just go home. We don't need you on the team. This is a mistake to make the trade, and we don't need you to play in the playoffs. And they just never – I don't even think he was at the games. They just told him to go home, basically.
So there's, like, only one team that might take a gamble on him because, you know, they took a gamble on Derrick Rose. So that might be the Knicks.
Oh, the Knicks.
I'm just saying. They need a point guard, right? Since Derrick Rose is getting the max. No, makes sense.
They need a point guard that can shoot.
They need a lot. They need a lot. And it's more than just trading Melo.
Oh, yeah, that Melo trade. Can the Raptors get in on that Melo? Do you think that's like a worthwhile trade for the Raptors to make for Carmelo?
No, not at all. This is like some first take stuff now, but no, not at all. I mean, what would you even have to give up to get a Melo, first of all, for the Raptors? How does he make him better?
Hold on a second. It's not like first take. That's just, you know, he's a available. Would you consider him a star player?
Man, I'm more down on Melo than most people are. I don't think he makes you any better. I think he's just okay. That's it.
Okay. So, okay.
How does he make them – if you're the Raptors, how does he make you better? Everybody always is like, yeah, but like it's Melo. I'm like, okay, and how does he make you better?
The only thing that I'm really concerned about is, like, he gives you that three-point shot from – and he would most likely be playing the four in the Raptors lineup. So, you know, they have a bunch of, like, wings now. And at least he would be able to play small – we get to play small ball with Melo in the lineup. Just saying, man. It's not a – I'm not saying make the trade, but I'm saying that, you know – just, like, consider, just, like, weigh the options at least. Don't just blindly march forward.
Okay, here, I'll ask you this. Since these two players have a similar cost to acquire them, Melo or Millsap, who would you get?
Is the cost the same? Because the Clippers, like, they said that Knicks said that the Clippers don't need to offer any of their big three to get Melo, so.
I believe that one when it goes through the transaction wire, to be honest.
But yeah, obviously Millsap is worth more, way more. For the regular fan, who do you think is more valuable to like your average fan?
To your average fan, probably Melo, which is pretty sad, but
name recognition, baby.
That's all it is with that. It's crazy.
Stay ME70, like Steam. Why is it a 7? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, he's like stay mellow, and then he would put like a 7 instead of an L.
And the brand, 7 man. Is supposed to... Mellow's all about building his brand. That's what he's about.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense being in New York.
Well, one thing too, everybody's got to keep in mind about these Mellow rumors, is there's a colossal power struggle in New York right now between Phil Jackson and Mellow. So I'm sure both of them are going to send out reports to try and make things seem one way, because neither guy wants to lose because their ego can barely fit in Madison Square Garden. And it's just, there's going to be a lot of conflicting reports probably going forward. I don't think anything's going to happen. I think they're literally going to stay the same and just have to find a way to make it work. And come then, on, if you're Melo, do you really want to say Phil Jackson drove me out of town? I don't think so.
Yeah, but I would love to say that I joined the Clippers and were like trying to challenge the Warriors.
No, that's true too. That's true. But who knows what the cost is going to be. You know, we should get into some Raptor stuff, to be honest. We should probably get into some Raptor stuff.
Melo to the Raptors confirmed.
Oh my God, could you imagine?
I honestly can't even imagine. I don't think Masai Ujiri would make a trade like that.
Hell no. He traded Melo away once. I don't think he's going to go get him. Okay. Right. You want the good stuff that we talk about first, or you want to talk about the bad stuff? I think we should talk about the good stuff.
Okay.
Okay. Happy birthday, Vince Carter.
Yeah. Oh, man. You see that 360 layup?
Not bad for a 40-year-old.
Which is crazy. I didn't even realize that he was 40 years old until they kept saying it like every 2 minutes on the broadcast.
Right? It was nuts. And okay, I got to admit though, one funny thing was Brian Hayes from TSN Radio on Overdrive there, the show he does. He tweeted out that I haven't seen Vince Carter this excited since his graduation. Because, you know, the guy barely ever has any heart when he played with Toronto down the stretch there. So
yeah, absolutely.
Love Vince, man. But you quit on us.
You know, 40 years, you consider how old 40 is, you know, people are, like, talking about their hip, you know, their knee problems, and he's here doing 360 layups and dunking it on people. It's kind of just hard to, like, think about how long he's been in the league.
And it's crazy how his vertical has never declined, man. Like, it's just nuts. Even through the knee injuries, he just always looks on another level when he jumps.
Mm-hmm. He had that nuclear athleticism on, like, the Raptors and... Even, you know, in a decline, it's still like an insanely great athlete. So I'm happy that his dunks aren't going away. Maybe he'll end up like Dr. J, where he ended up like dunking into all the way into like his 60s. He's still capable of dunking the ball.
Man, I don't see why he would. VC, just like you said, he's just some ridiculous athleticism. Should we get to the bad stuff now?
Wait, no, no, no.
Well, okay, we'll go in lightly. Marc Gasol, to put it bluntly, took a shit on the Raptors the other night. Like, just destroyed them in every way possible.
Yeah,
that's the light stuff.
Man, the biggest problem with that is the centers on the Raptors are not used to leaving the paint at all. And Marc Gasol is just like, yo, I shoot threes now. And that's basically what he's been doing, is just shelled the Raptors from deep.
Marc Gasol is literally what the Raptors would want Valanciunas to become.
Oh, what a dream. Don't tease me.
Yeah. I know, that'd be the... Oh, could you imagine, though? Just imagine swapping Marc Gasol and JV. Whew! I think they could beat the Cavs.
Yeah, the other thing, it would be worthy of beating the Cavs, but don't get my hopes up, man. Don't get the hopes up.
All right, so we'll kill your dreams and we'll get to the worst stuff now. This 5-game losing streak, obviously there's been a lot of injuries that we could say is one of the reasons why. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason for concern here? Because I'm looking at some things and I think there is some reason for concern, especially for a team like the Raptors that's been so resilient. You look at it and you could say there's chinks in the armor. I mean, they rank 16th in defensive rating, tied with Cleveland and Houston. Their defensive rebounding percentage is 74.8%. That's 29th in the league, only, you know, ahead of Boston. And then something we saw so much of before DeRozan went down with injury when Lowry was struggling was they go back. It's like they revert to their old ways of just ISO basketball with dead sets where – look at the Phoenix game, for example. We saw DeRozan try and play one-on-one with P.J. Tucker, and it's like the Raptors lack creativity to get anything done down the stretch, and it's agonizing to watch because it just reminds me of the old teams where it'd be like, oh, boy, what the heck is going on out there? So – I don't know. There's just basically defense, rebounding, and a lack of anything down the stretch is reason for concern.
You hit the nail on the head, and it's just, I mean, they went through a little bit of a rough patch, but the shot's just not falling. You know, they're playing like second games of back to backs, and that's going to hurt, especially when you're playing against Memphis, a team that's going to like grind you into dust. You know, that's
literally,
that's like their play style. So if you're playing them on a second game of a back to back, that hurts, but. The shot's just not falling, and the DeMar DeRozan injury hurts as well. You know, so I know we're pretending like, you know, the sky is falling, and it kind of is falling right now, but you know, DeMar DeRozan's injured, and I think we're really seeing, like, the effects, like, how good he actually is for this Raptors team. And I think our, like, my perception of DeMar DeRozan is not the highest, you know. And I'm starting to see his value right now.
Can you repeat that again, please? I just want to get that on the record.
I miss DeMar DeRozan, man.
Oh, whoa.
But yeah, his score, like, is just his Kyle Lowry has to do so much work without DeMar DeRozan on the court, and he's playing these crazy amount of minutes, and you know, he's diving all over the court just to, like, maintain possession or, like, to get steals and stuff like that. Even in that Memphis game that they played, there's, like, I think it was in the second quarter where he literally jumped into, like, the second row of the crowd to save the ball. Yep. To get it back in for a 3-point shot, and, like, the Raptors scored off of that. But the amount of energy he has to expend just to keep the team in the game, it's going to be detrimental for the playoffs.
Does he not look worn down a bit right now, or is it just me?
Yeah, he does, man. Everybody on this team needs, like, a LeBron break for, like, a couple weeks, so they can, especially Lowry, dude. And I feel like that might be coming if DeMar DeRozan comes back. I have a feeling there might be some sort of, not vacation, but there's going to be people resting in the middle of the season here.
Okay, now that we talk about rest, though, and we talk about, you know, missing DeMar DeRozan, what if we rank the Raptors that they could ill afford to lose, you know, like from, I guess, the most valuable player to wherever we feel like stopping?
It's okay.
I guess Lowry's the most important?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I was thinking about it, you know, like how... If they lost Lowry, like if he didn't come back in the free agency this year, how many wins do you think the Raptors would acquire in the next season?
Ooh. Well, it depends who they bring in, first of all. But...
They're over the cap.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say next. So, are they a 500 team? Or, like, slightly above 500?
I think so. I mean... He's that valuable, man. The Raptors are a 55 win team with him on the roster, and without him, they're like 500. I can't. Corey Joseph isn't, you know, maybe he's like half the player that Kyle Lowry is, but.
Well, here, I got a question.
It's not enough.
Is a Lowry-less Raptors better than the Milwaukee Bucks?
Ooh.
Because if it's not, then that's what they would be, in my opinion.
Mm. Dang. And then they got, you know, Giannis, Jabari.
Right.
Yeah.
We haven't even seen them with Chris Middleton yet.
Yeah, that's true. So, wow.
Now Brogdon, like, they got pieces.
Brogdon, so. one of my favorite players in the league right now.
I love watching him play, dude. But, almost as much as I love watching Jokic play, but that's a whole other topic.
Yeah, you're right, man. So they're like a 500 team without Kyle Lowry. And then, you know, DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan feels replaceable. Even though that they're losing right now,
he does. We can get into that right now if you mm-hmm. want.
I mean, he would be the second most, you know, irreplaceable player, but he still feels replaceable.
Well, he does a bit. Here, let's bang through the list then quick, because Lowry, DeRozan, I think you and I both agree is Patrick Patterson at three. Then it gets really interesting.
Yeah, it's like, you know, at this point, I think you could trade pretty much anybody. Like, Damari Carroll was supposed to be, like, the fourth guy, but this year he's just fallen off a cliff in terms of, like, defensive and offensive capability.
So maybe this roster isn't as good as we think without Lowry? Or maybe it's just not as good. Like,
period.
Do they have a lot of deficiencies that Lowry just makes invisible?
His three-point shooting, man. He's a sniper. And there's just, like, a lot of times where he'll come off of a screen, like, the pick and roll, and he just, like, has a sliver of space, and just, like, the degree of difficulty of which his shots are being taken is just ridiculous. I don't know if... Usually the Raptors won't get anything else outside of some action like that, so if they're just missing that, you know, how are they generating points?
I have not... It's a puzzling question because I don't really have an answer. Like, I don't know if anybody does, because you look at this roster and you go, okay, there's a lot of nice pieces, but is it enough to really beat, like, a Cavs or be ultra competitive in the East? You know, like, I can make a case. I think the Celtics and the Raptors are almost mirror images of themselves now.
Oh, yeah, like the star point guard, and then you got, like, a bunch of great pieces around him.
Yep. If JV could take that next step forward and become, like, that pick-and-pop guy that they were talking about. Like, remember when the postseason ended last year, and they said JV's going to start working on his three and shooting 20-footers? Like, we haven't seen any of that.
Yeah, and he's barely shooting it from, like, the elbow, so.
He's barely making.
I don't think he's shooting the three. I don't think he's shooting the three, man. I don't think that's happening for him. It's just, like, not within his play style at all.
Well, you know who else should stop shooting the three is Jared Sollinger. At least from, like, dead-on threes. Dude, I'm looking at his shot chart the past 4 years. He's horrific in dead-on threes. It's under 27% consistently, like, for 4 years. Just stop shooting it. Go in the corners. Stick to the left elbow that you love to shoot, and that's it. That's it. Go feast down low. Yeah, I don't know why he keeps shooting it, dude.
He kind of needs to shoot. Like, he's so wide open on it. I mean, you know, you're open for a reason, but he's so wide open, he needs to be able to hit it, because if he's not capable of doing that pick and pop, like, what else is he doing on the floor that is contributing to the team?
Take the Bismack route, man. Like, pick and dive, and then just crash the glass. Somewhere the Raptors desperately need right now. I mean, the Raptors rank bottom five in almost every rebounding statistic in the NBA right now. Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
where he'll help him.
When it was crash and dive with Biombo, it was like the lob was like ever present. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true too. I know they're different players and all, but
it's like I got to give this awkward bounce pass to Sollinger, and then he has to like muscle it up around the rim. I mean, he's great around the rim, but it's not a surefire thing like an alley-oop is.
And even if he was to drive and try and dish out, nobody would respect the drive. They'd be like, okay, keep coming.
Yeah, exactly. So. Probably Jared Sollinger is probably on the bottom of that list.
Yeah, he's near the bottom on a 1 year deal. You know. let's get to the DeRozan part where you're saying he's replaceable a bit, because, I mean, when he's out of the lineup, Norm Powell absolutely thrives.
Norman Powell, welcome to the Church of Norm, man, where he shoots 39% from three as a starter. He was like 14 points per game, 39.5% from three as a starter. Steal a game, turnover a game. And he just looks amazing in transition. Like, that's the best part about him.
He adds a new element to this team when he starts. And dude, I don't know what it is, because when everybody's in the lineup, he doesn't play, right?
It's the speed, and like it looks a lot like Russell Westbrook's one-man fast breaks. Like, it's a one step, and then on the second step, you can literally see him changing gears like a car from first to second gear, right? And he just becomes a bolt of lightning to the rim. The only problem is, like, he doesn't finish everything like Westbrook does.
No. Well, Norm Powell, like, if you want to use, like, a football analogy, a lot of the great running backs in the NFL right now, they're what everybody likes to call one-cut backs. They'll make one cut, hit the hole, gone. That's literally Norm Powell, like you just said. He makes that one cut, and he's either attacking or he's shooting a jump shot. And he's just – I think his ability to minimize what he's going to do with the ball has helped him become a more efficient player.
Yeah, he's, you know
– it's either one-cut drive or a one-cut shot.
Yeah, exactly. Or shoot the open three when it swings to you.
Yeah.
So he's just great, man. He's a great extension of Lowry, but if you're going to have him – if you're going to have Norman Powell on your squad, then you need somebody else – to take in that, like, Norman Powell is like the third guy on your team, and you need a better second dude. JV?
Well, it's supposed to be JV, right? But
yeah, at this point,
we're still kind of waiting.
At this point, it kind of like should be JV, because Powell is like a secondary option, so it should be Lowry, and then if it's not Lowry, then it's JV post ups or like the pick and pops at the elbow, or you know, the pick and roll for those like weird lobs that are not alley-oops but are kind of like jump shots, sort of. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. Well, it's hard to describe JV's game because it's kind of a bunch of things, right? And it's nothing that's really consistent.
Yeah, none of it's like none of it like folds into each other, you know? Like, I don't see him doing a lot of dives and then he catches it like, you know, in like a seal and then like hits him with like one or two moves and like hooks it in or something like that. It's usually, if he's doing the post-up, you have to set up the post-up. If he's doing the pick-and-roll, you got to do the pick-and-roll. He's not going to post-up out of the pick-and-roll. It never... It's a... He basically just has like a bunch of skill sets that don't fit, that do fit together, but he's not putting them together.
It's really weird. And you've seen the Raptors try and run things for him, or like for example, a lot of 1-5 screens. They love that because, you know, between Sullinger and JV, they're both excellent screeners. And Lowry, we've seen what he can do with the ball at the point of attack. And they run that to death, but then JV just kind of wanders off into no man's land. Whether it be like that 20-footer that he can't shoot, or he'll dive to the rim when everybody just crashes in and you're like, hey, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, and then he's like putting up this contested layup over like two or three dudes. And which and it's like, you know, it's fine to do that, but he typically will miss it and you'll get like the putback. But if you just like caught that on the run and then like, you know, bumped your dude and then like gave him a hook shot or like an up and under, like fold in your post proficiency, right? Then it would be great, you know, because then that's like what DeMarcus Cousins does to score, you know, on those pick and rolls.
Yeah, well, he's a lot more polished, but I get what you're saying. We kind of went all over the place, just like JV's game here, and we never really answered the question of, is there, like, should we be concerned? If you're a Raptors fan right now, are you genuinely concerned, or are you just kind of, you know, just chill out, the Cavs are losing, the Celtics are losing, you know, losing's a new trend in 2017 right now, so everybody relax.
Yeah, like, everybody's losing the Cavs a lot, and the Cavs and LeBron is pissed. Like, LeBron is actually livid right now.
Dude, okay, we're going to talk about that after, because...
Yeah, LeBron is livid.
That's ridiculous.
He's pissed. And, yeah, everybody's losing, which is odd. I would be concerned only because the Raptors are in danger of losing the second seed because the Celtics are half a game back. So I kind
of
think...
Are you concerned of the long-term outlook of this team now for this season?
Not really, no. No. Not really. You know, not unless they fall into the 4C, which is like, you know, somebody else has to get injured. Or not, right? Really. Not really, because like the Hawks are only a game back, right? So
I promised myself this. I was like, if the Raptors are in the 4th or 5th seed by the All-Star break, okay, yeah, there's reason for panic.
Yeah,
but right now, there isn't.
Yeah, so for now, we're okay. But I would be wringing my hands.
If there's a panic button, I'm slowly grazing my finger over the top a bit, but I'm not going to hit it, you know? I'm just kind of like looking at it, touching it, taking it off, like, okay, yeah, it's there, you know?
Yeah, like I'm pacing back and forwards in the room, wringing my hands, but I'm like, you know, I look at the button, I'm like, no, not yet, not yet. I gotta wait for the message.
We'll get back to you. All-Star Games in 3 weeks?
Yeah, man, the Raptors must be looking forward to that, especially Kyle Lowry to get that break we were talking about.
He's probably scratching days off his calendar. Yes, one more, one more. You want to talk about the All-Star game?
Absolutely.
A bit?
Absolutely. Our buddies.
Any
snubs? Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I think Joel Embiid too. My problem with like looking at the rosters is like, when we say the word snub, who do you take out as the other part of the equation?
If I'm gonna,
I take out Paul George.
Paul George, maybe. Probably Kevin Love for Joel Embiid, if I'm going to be 100% honest. Like, I don't, you know, I appreciate Kevin Love, but I appreciate defense as well. And I appreciate a mobile big man.
And give me the process.
Right? That's the process, and that is not Kevin Love. You know, Kevin Love is having a good season this year. He's, like, averaging, like, 20 points, and he's grabbing a ton of rebounds, like 11 rebounds, but... I don't know, I prefer the process, man. Like the 76ers are actually like a you know, and their plus minus are actually like a plus team when he's on the court.
They would actually project to a playoff team.
Yeah, like they're
if you use like all the statistics and models, they're a playoff team with Joel Embiid in the lineup. The guy has literally changed the whole fate of a franchise.
Of a franchise, like, right? Like,
yeah,
he's a legit generational player. And you know, it's kind of like, it's not a travesty, but I'm just like, you know, I wish he was there. He's such a fun-loving dude. Like, his personality would shine in the All-Star game. You know?
Be perfect.
Like, he's just there to goof around. He's like, you know, if people liked Dwight Howard, that's what it would be like. You know?
That's a really good point.
He's just like a goofy dude. And he's just like, can you imagine the tweets from the All-Star game? He's trying to get a picture with, like, Rihanna and Drake or something like that. That would be hilarious. I just feel like obviously, when you're a coach, the coaches are voting for for the reserves, right? So they're not going to, like, think about that. They're just like, you know, who the best player is, which he is probably better. He is better than Kevin Love, but...
Without question.
Yeah, he's not going to get selected, but I think he should have been there, man. I think we're missing out, like, on basically the Magic Johnson of our era right now, personality-wise.
Yeah, I think you can make a case that the Zinger should get in over Paul George. Like, Porzingis has had a pretty damn good season.
Yeah, he's had a good season, but that Knicks team, bro.
And all.
That Knicks team. I don't think he's that good that you can excuse how bad the Knicks are right now. But Joel Embiid, you know, like, he's actually an amazing... He's actually validating the 76ers franchise by existing. So that's the reason why I would select him for the All-Star team.
So do you punish a player for playing on a bad team?
If the team is, like, extraordinarily bad, like, Devin Booker is not getting into my All-Star game. You know?
No, me neither.
Towns, probably not. Yeah, if the team is just, like, extraordinarily bad, then it's hard to include them. But if they're, like, an actual, like, generational type player, or a player that's just, like, impacts, like, so many parts of the game, like a Anthony Davis or a Joel Embiid, then I'm like, yeah, those guys deserve to be in it. Giannis Antetokounmpo deserves to be in.
Oh, hell yeah. But, I think it's funny because when you say that, right, about how, like, you know, if you're playing on a bad team, I think that's what kind of screwed some of the guys in the West, like Damian Lillard. You could even say Mike Conley to a certain extent. You know, mm-hmm. He missed some time, but he definitely plays all-star caliber. What about Chris Paul and Rudy Gobert?
Chris Paul, yeah. Chris Paul's injured, though. That's the excuse that they get.
Fair.
Okay,
what about Rudy, dude?
Rudy Gobert, I would have Rudy in over DeAndre Jordan. And I think that he's in because he lives in L.A., right? And his play style is more spectacular, right? So even if you're a coach, you're just like, you know, his play sticks out more than Rudy Gobert just, like, not allowing you to shoot inside the paint. There's no statistic for that, you know?
It's true.
Right, so when people don't shoot inside the paint, or they have to shoot these, like, huge bankers off the top of the glass, like, it's hard to see his effects compared to when DeAndre Jordan just, like, spikes the ball back into your face.
I agree with that. Even, like, the alley-oops, the dunks, you know, all the flair.
Exactly.
Oh, we forgot. Congratulations to the Celtics on having, like, two All-Stars, you know. Gordon Hayward, he's representing the Celtics as well. Since it's pretty much a done deal that he's going there next year, apparently.
They wish, man. Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, Jay Crowder.
Jay Crowder.
Give me your feelings again.
Jay Crowder, come to the Raptors. We could use you.
Oh, dude, we could use him.
Yeah, exactly.
Think about the chip, too, on his shoulder.
Yeah, it'd be great for... Okay, well, this is wishful thinking because he's under contract, but still. Him on the Raptors would be fantastic.
Just push the trade through, like, 2K.
Oh, man, like 2K? Like... Where you can spend money to, like, just get people on your team. That's basically,
yeah, what's
like
luxury tax?
If you're, like, LA in real life, it's just, like, just throw money at them. But, yeah, so... Sorry?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so I don't... You know, for me, there's a penalty for being on a bad team. There's a penalty.
Okay. I'm trying to think what else there's to talk about at this All-Star game now. I feel like that's pretty much it, man, because... The guys that are snubs that we went through, mm-hmm. We kind of just realized that, you know, maybe the case isn't as strong as we thought when we first saw the list. Aside from Embiid.
My only problem is Westbrook didn't get to start.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
Because if Westbrook got to start and James Harden and Kevin Durant all started at the same time.
That's good television.
That would have been excellent television. Right, just like the drama of them all being together, and then everybody were like, "Man, remember when they were all on the same team?" And then if you're a Thunder fan, you just like cry into your popcorn because you're like, "They're all on the same team."
Well, on top of that, I'd love to see how Durant and Westbrook would interact. You know, since everybody's making a big deal about it, because you know Westbrook apparently said, "Don't shake that bitch's hand," or whatever he said after the game. So,
remember when like Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas were on the same All-Star team, and, like, they would never pass the ball to Isaiah.
Yes, that's what I want to see happen.
I have a feeling that's the same thing. I don't know who that would happen to. Like, I feel like just Westbrook would never pass it to Durant.
100%.
Right, and then Durant would be like, he would pass it to Westbrook. you know, hoping to get it back at some point in time, and then you just never get it back. And then,
hey, is Westbrook kind of petty with all this, do you think, or no?
I think so, absolutely.
I think he's petty, too, with it, dude. Like, it started with the photographer outfit. Come on.
Yeah, and, yeah, man, oh, my goodness. And then ESPN would probably run some sort of statistic on, like, how many times Kevin Durant passed it to Westbrook, and Westbrook only passed it to him, like, one time.
And then you're missing the best part. Enes Kanter, with his one hand now, will definitely send some tweet out about Durant, you know, throwing shade at him. Oh,
my goodness. I can't believe he broke his arm or fractured his arm.
That was the stupidest thing I saw tonight.
I just, why, it's like you're a carpenter, right? You don't bang your tools unnecessarily because those are your tools for your trade. It's the same thing when you're a basketball player. You don't punch walls, you don't like punch chairs because those are the tools for your trade. If you can't, if you don't have your tools, you can't do your trade. You can't make your millions of dollars.
Right. The worst part about it is when he punched the chair, people thought he fractured his hand. He didn't even grab his hand. Right away, he grabbed his forearm, and I was like, holy hell. This guy fractured his forearm.
Moron.
Sure enough. Yeah, actually a moron for that.
He's out for 6 to 8 weeks. 6 to 8 weeks.
And what makes it worse is he punched a chair against the Mavs, and the Mavs rested almost everybody tonight. Like, dude, come on. Kidding me?
Oh, man. He's never going to hear the end of that, man, honestly.
Hell no. The only guys playing for the Mavs tonight was like Harrison Barnes, Andrew Bogut, and D-League legend Pierre Jackson. That's it.
D-League legend.
The dude's a – man, look up his scoring numbers in the D-League. Beast. Absolute beast.
Well, yeah, man. The West has become like a circus, and I was hoping for that Westbrook all-star start for just for it to to devolve into this weird bizarro carnival.
I think it'd be hilarious. Wait, before we get out of here, who would you want to see play with those three guys? I'd want to see Draymond and I don't know, throw DeAndre. I just think that'd be hilarious. Westbrook, Durant, James Harden, Draymond, and DeAndre.
Oh man, no. It should be DeMarcus.
Then it's yes, that's way better.
Then the entire team just hates each other.
Would actually be beyond dysfunctional.
And nobody would ever pass the ball.
And Draymond would call out Westbrook for not passing the ball.
Pass the damn ball. And then, oh my gosh, and then DeMarcus would get on. Oh man, that would be high drama, dude. Why aren't they doing this?
Right? The defense between Boogie and James Harden, too, combined on the other end. Whoo, top notch right there. First team. That would be hilarious.
Yo, that's one of the problems with the NBA's selection process with the All-Stars is, like, they don't take the best 24 players. You know, it's a conference-based thing. But, like, if they took the best 24, Westbrook would absolutely be starting in this All-Star game. And then you might see him against James Harden or with this James Harden and Kevin Durant. But, you know, you would see him starting. And we wouldn't have people, like... We wouldn't have like Kevin Love, you know, in the All-Star game. We'd have like, you know, our Mike Conley's and Damian Lillard's that are missing it. They would be in
instead. So you're basically saying like adopt a pickup style. Just best 24 guys, let's go. Ball out.
Yeah, man. And then you would just have like some captains, you know. You have some
captains. That'd be pretty cool.
To select. Like you'd have basically your pool of 24, and then you'd have your two captains, and then the two captains would just select from the pool of the 24.
I'd love to see that. You know, I think that actually be a lot of fun.
Right? Instead of, like, having your Jimmy Butlers on the squad, you're getting, like, your Damian Lillards, man. I mean, actually, Jimmy Butler would actually be on the All-Star team this year because he's amazing. He's pretty amazing this year. But you know what I mean.
No, I do get what you're saying, yeah. It would just be a fun idea all around.
Yeah, I think they need to spruce it up, man, because, like, the All-Star game is basically just, like a dunk competition for an hour.
It's just, like, fast break, wide open threes.
Yeah, and like now they're just trying to mitigate their ability to get injured. So they're just like, I'm just going to shoot a three where nobody's around me. And just going to see how deep I can shoot threes from.
It's kind of dull.
Yeah, it's getting dull. The dunk competition was great last year, though.
Yep. And we won't get a rematch, apparently. No LaVine Gordon this year, so.
I know, man. Dude, I wanted that rematch so bad. Oh.
Same. We're just getting robbed. On that note, though, I think we'll get out of here before we get injury. You know? I'd like to thank everybody for listening to this week's episode.
My voice.
As always, hey, take it easy, man. Need you. We got 7 days till the next one, so take some tea, honey lemon, rest up. As always, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tip of the Tower. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes and SoundCloud, also at Tip of the Tower. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris O'Kranitz. You can follow DeMar on Twitter at DeMar J. Grant. Guys, trying to stress too much about this Raptors losing streak. It might come to an end pretty soon, hopefully tomorrow night. If it doesn't...
If they lose to the Bucks, it's a serious problem, man. Like, we actually need to start considering.
So. The panic? Hold on. Dude, one more game means we're going to panic?
It's the Bucks. I mean, like, it's possible for them to lose the Bucks, but like a 6-game losing streak is a big deal.
All right, it is, because then we're gonna start talking about if it affects their psyche and whatnot.
And yeah, and then they drop into the third seed, and then we're talking about seeding and maybe play Cleveland in the second round and move on to the fourth seed. So like, it's a problem.
Yeah, it's actually kind of just tried to end the podcast, and now we're still talking. So
yeah,
I think we'll have to talk about this on the next podcast.
That was a big deal. It's a big deal.
Now you should panic. All right, enjoy the game, guys. Take care.
See you.